Well, I'm not asking for an award, but Dan and I are putting in a full 3 hours today. I'm just saying it doesn't happen that often. If I were given an award, like I would accept, you know, I would accept it for sure. Welcome to Drive Time. It is our third hour. If you are enjoying us on YouTube, we thank you. There's always a great discussion group happening at the WCCO Radio YouTube channel. We got UGEL with us back after a little staycation. Jonathan there as well, and a cast of others who have popped in and out. So we always appreciate that. Nice conversation. We watched all of it, so you can chat with us if you want. So pretty good stuff. It is time for the D Rush Hour news headlines.
The headlines you might have missed without missing a beat. This is your fast pass through the biggest and most impactful stories of the day. Welcome to the D Rush Hour headlines, starting with the lead.
Big story that we begin with is news that Mary Moriarty, the Hennepin County attorney who has been controversial, who has been lumped in with other progressive county attorneys throughout the United States, has decided that she will be a one-term and done candidate. She has taken intense criticism, some from law enforcement, saying that she's not tough enough on criminals, that she's more concerned about freeing people than locking bad people up. I would posit that maybe freeing innocent people is a good thing, and locking people up, well, yeah, I would like to see a more aggressive approach in that as well. Today, Mary Moriarty has done a couple of interviews, including one with Fox 9, that underscores some of the lack of cooperation and some of the frustration with the finger pointing, at least from Moriarty's perspective, where she is, well, let's just listen in her words.
Where I would say my frustration comes in is that there are many unhelpful narratives out there. And I know you've heard them, and I know you've interviewed the chief. And sometimes he tends to talk about a revolving door, you know, claiming that we don't charge kids and that kind of thing. And I think that's very unhelpful and not true. And it's one of those narratives I talked about in my video and when I interviewed with Strib. We need to have candid conversations about what's actually happening in a system. And that doesn't mean we're pointing fingers. It means we need to identify the gaps in the system. So let's give car theft as an example. In 2023, I think we had about 7,500 car thefts in Minneapolis. The Minneapolis police were able to bring us for potential charging less than 2% of those cases, so less than 200. We know, or people, research says, deterrence is really about the certainty of being caught. Deterrence is actually not about long sentences or sentences. It is about whether you think you're going to get caught. So if you are somebody stealing cars and you know the certainty of getting caught is less than 2%, there's absolutely no deterrence there.
One of the questions that Amy Hockert asked was about the relationship that Mary Moriarty has with the chief of police, Brian O'Hara. And Mary Moriarty said, he won't return my calls. Let's bring in Abu Amara, who is a political analyst. He's a lawyer. He's a Democrat. And when you look at all of this, Abu, first of all, I believe that if Mary Moriarty ran again, she would have a pretty good chance of winning, because what she has done is what I think a lot of Democrats, especially in Minneapolis, have been asking for, which is more of a social justice, community first, maybe. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I feel like she's done exactly what she said she was going to do.
In some respects, I agree with that. I think she ran on a platform of pretty massive scale change. I would say, though, I think where we are in this moment is fundamentally different than where we were 4 years ago. So zoom back 4 years ago. We were just coming out of the aftermath of George Floyd's killing, and a reckoning around policing and community affairs. And so there was an energy behind criminal justice reform, prosecutorial reform. And I think that's a different moment than where we are now. Now I think we're in this position, both psychologically and reality, of still folks having real concerns about safety in communities. And so although she delivered on many of her promises, I think it's not a question of whether she did what she said she was going to do. It's a question of, is this the direction we want to keep going in Hennepin County?
Do you think she has a point when she's saying, look, I'm getting hammered for not doing enough on juvenile crime, but as a community, we don't really have a lot of answers as to, A, why aren't the police bringing me more cases? And B, what are we supposed to do with these 10, 11, and 12-year-olds once we do have them in the system?
You know, pointing out that issue, I think, reflects the fact that people want communication about why these things aren't happening, right? So it may be true that she doesn't have as many tools at her disposal to address some of those issues. But then you need to communicate that to the public so they understand why certain things aren't happening. And I think one of the major critiques of Mary Moriarty over the past couple of years has been not so much that she doesn't know what she's doing. She knows exactly what she's doing. It's that there hasn't been sufficient communication about why things aren't happening in certain areas. And I think that is the main critique of Mary Moriarty. It's not so much she doesn't know what she's doing. It's that there's not enough communication. There's not enough engagement around some of those issues over the past 4 years.
Is there a fundamental disconnect in electing somebody who spent their life as a defender to be the chief prosecutor? Is that just a bridge that is too far, really, for people to cross?
Look, I don't want to say, you know, never can a defense lawyer be a prosecutor, but I will say this. I mean, if this was the Vikings and we had a quarterback, we wouldn't be saying, you know what, let's play our middle linebacker at quarterback. There are fundamentally different roles we have in our adversarial system. And you can have a great criminal defense lawyer, and that's an important role in our society in defending the Constitution. But it's also important to have a prosecutorial mindset with a county prosecutor, right? And so I do think they're both important roles. I think they're critically different roles. And whoever serves in that position has to have the mindset of a prosecutor and not of a defense lawyer.
I 1,000% agree with that. Very good. Abu Amara, thank you so much. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for always having me.
All right. Next up in the lead is a story that on its face sounded like bad news. An increase in the number of colon cancer cases, a significant increase in the number of colon cancer cases found in 45 to 49-year-olds. However, this is in fact an amazing success story because it coincides with an increase in screening. You may know, you may not know, that the age for colon cancer for that first colonoscopy screening, the recommended age is now 45. Dr. Scott Keetover, the president and CEO of Minji Digestive Health, is with us. It is where I got my colonoscopy. So we visit with Dr. Keetover because on the face, this feels like bad news. But in fact, this is really good news, Scott.
I think the good news is that we're finding it in younger people at a stage when we can interact in a way that's more productive and decreases the amount of problems that patients have in terms of, you know, morbidity and mortality from colon cancer. So we're finding it at earlier stages.
Yeah, one of the data points in this new research from the American Cancer Society found that the number of screenings from those 45 to 49-year-olds is up 62% from 2019 to 2023, which to me is sort of an amazing compliance rate, right? Because we know that for years the date was 50, and to move it back to 45, I guess you didn't really know if people were going to do it or not.
That's true. When the recommendation came out to move the screening age back to 45, we didn't know what the impact was going to be. So the good news is that it's worked in everybody's favor.
Are these numbers similar to what you're seeing at Minji Digestive Health, sort of a similar kind of explosion in people in that kind of late 40s? I know I was one who went over to your place and got my colonoscopy before I turned 50 because my doctor said to do it.
Yeah, we are. You know, it's much more available in terms of the discussion that patients are having with their primary care providers or reading about in the lay press. I also think there may be a phenomenon that those who are in their fifth decade of life are maybe looking back on their previous 20 years and reassessing sort of in midlife, you know, what are the decisions they made 20 years ago that they would make differently today and how that impacts their moving ahead in their future. And so I think they're more planful in what to do with their health. And we are seeing that materialize in more screenings for younger people.
Dr. Scott Kettover is the president and CEO of Minji Digestive Health. You know, colonoscopies are a little different than some other types of early screenings in that you can actually take action while you're doing the screening. Can you explain that? Because I think that's sort of the difference maker when you think about getting that early screening.
Yes, absolutely. So there's lots of screening tests out there for colon cancer, but colonoscopy is the only test that can prevent someone from developing a colon cancer. So with all the other screening modalities, what we're really looking for is a marker that they might have something that needs further investigation.
Sure.
When you have a colonoscopy, it gives us the opportunity to find precancerous lesions and remove them in a very simple fashion long before they have an impact on one's health. And that's why we say colonoscopy is really the only screening test that can prevent colon cancer. And that's why we stand on the recommendation that it's really the gold standard for colorectal cancer screening.
I mean, you're probably seeing this every day at your locations, right? People in their late 40s that get a benign polyp removed, and you think, man, this maybe prevents something from getting worse and something potentially being deadly.
Absolutely. And what's astounding to us is because patients are coming in now, than the younger cohort in their 40s, is the percentage of patients that we're seeing that already have colon polyps, that when we remove those polyps and we look at them microscopically, they are precancerous lesions. And what we don't truly know is, would those lesions become cancers sooner than if we had found them 5 years later? So our goal is to find things in patients early so that we can impact in a way that prevents them from having illness going forward.
Pretty cool. Scott Kettover, the president and CEO of Minji Digestive Health. It's a good start for sure. Long way to go, but good start here. Thanks, Scott.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And that is page one. The lead is coming up next. Excessive screen time. Well, just yesterday, weren't we saying it's not that bad today? Well, today it's bad. Our state fair is ranked what? And the Gunflint Lodge has a birthday next. Get the kids away from the screens because excessive screen time is being linked to heart problems in young people.
Screens are fun, but not all day. Time to stop and run and play. Play a game, then have a rest.
How did you find
this? Playing outside is always best.
I'm a really good producer, Jason.
That is, how much screen time did you put in today to find this?
Surprisingly little.
All right. You just Googled.
I
don't want all the secrets.
Methods. You know, a good magician never reveals his tricks.
So most of the jibber-jabber about screen time is that it's a mental health concern, right? Now, the Journal of the American Heart Association is saying 10 to 18-year-olds who spent more time on devices, which, you know, it includes all this stuff, phones, TVs, computers, gaming consoles, are at higher risk for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity, insulin resistance. And this research was done in, these were Danish studies. And so here's the problem. You got all these people eating Danishes, and you're like, well, no wonder it's messed up. Did I read this wrong?
No, I think you're spot on.
So they took these studies at the Danish shops and talked to 1,000 participants, and they said, well, put down your computer, eat your Danish. No. So if this is true in Denmark, obviously it's true here. Now, I would say, is the villain screen time, or is the villain that there are only so many hours in a day? And if you are spending more time on a screen, you're walking around less, you're playing less, like it's sort of obvious, right? But one of the bigger things that I didn't think of is sleep. So what kids are doing is substituting screen for sleep, and less sleep and later bedtime amplifies the issue. So screen time, maybe the biggest villain is that you're stealing time from sleep, and sleep is important to all of us, but maybe no more important to that very young age, which I thought was quite interesting and surprising. I hadn't thought about that. Our state fair is the best state fair.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it.
All right, so Wisconsin. Now, people who listen to this show and live in Wisconsin, they don't go to the Wisconsin State Fair. I used to go to the Wisconsin State Fair when I lived in the Chicago area because it was in Wauwatosa near, West Allis, technically, but West Allis, right near downtown Milwaukee. Wisconsin State Fair is the number three state fair in the USA Today 10 best rankings. Now, how do they do the rankings? Who cares? Because we're number one, right? Dan,
so it must be scientific.
Do you care if we're number one? Do you care what the metric is?
No. As long as they get to the right answer, what do I care?
Yeah,
what
you don't want the methodology. Yeah. Who gives a rip?
Nah, doesn't matter.
Number two, state fair. It's not Texas. It's
Iowa.
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 I think that makes sense.
Sure.
Iowa State Fair.
Texas cheats anyway because they have it for like a month and a half.
That's exactly right. Everything's bigger in Texas. Yeah, if it's a month and a half, give me a break. Iowa State Fair was the inspiration for a Broadway musical, for the book State Fair, all of that stuff. But who's number one, baby? 320 acres from late August to Labor Day. Our State Fair is the best state fair. That is the D Rush Hour news headlines on this Thursday. The biggest story in the state is always the Minnesota Vikings. It just is. And we get our first preseason game on Saturday. Alec Lewis is going to join us. He's at TCO training camp today. So we'll see what we need to know to get ready for the first preseason game coming up.